that's where we'll be at tonight. Take 1 minute for slide. Where are you, Dr. Glances on? That's on Andrews. Page 16. Alright. And the fourth thing is Federal Sermon by Ruckridge, this is Rochester. It said that Dr. Andrews was conversant and conversant. In a good way, let me get this wrong here if I can. Let's see if I can go off. Yeah, there it is. Conversant with 15 different languages. 15 languages of scholars. There were no scholars in all these modern versions. It compares and touch the scholarship that has been just translated. They translate accurately from proper Hebrew, the proper Aramaic, proper Greek. Excellently. And these are the translators. And then there's other things about Dr. Andrews. Well, it was an excellent. The next one, just was the second one, is the acumen of William Bedwell. Dr. William Bedwell was also in Company 1, the Westminster Group. They translated from the books of Genesis to 2 Kings, the Hebrew ingredients. And first of all, it does appear to be an Oriental scholar, like not only the Hebrew, but many other foreign languages, Syriac and various other things. Notice also, second, his name was for Arabic term. He's an Arabic scholar as well. It's so great, the scholars far enough for assistance. To him belongs as the first aid, the honor being the first, to considerably promoted and revived the study of the Arabic language and literature in Europe. And also third, as far as Dr. Bedwell, the superiority, in Antwerp, 1612, he published in Porto an edition of the Epistles to St. John in Arabic with a Latin version. What a scholar he was. I don't think the men have their Bible today even know Arabic, much less having a whole Bible, a whole book written about it. In the fourth place, he left many Arabic manuscripts from the University of Cambridge with numerous notes and phototypes of permanence. In fifth place, for many years, he's engaged in compiling the Arabic lexicon in 3 volumes. Lexicon was a dictionary of the Arabic language. So what a scholar he was, indeed. And he was a translator of the Greek language. I don't know if modern translators even know what these languages are. They're known as the scholars in it. Then, six, as McClure wrote, some modern scholars in 1857, when McClure wrote the book, have fancied themselves, we have an advantage in our times over the translators of King James in 1611. By reason of greater attention, which was supposed to be paid at present in 1857, what are called the cognate Semitic languages. Those are the languages that are similar to Arabic, and rather to Hebrew and Aramaic. Especially Arabic, on which much light is thought to be reflected on Hebrew words and phrases. It is evident, however, that Dr. Bedwell, Mr. Bedwell, was, among others, among his fellows, was thoroughly conversant in this part of the broad field of sacred physics. He spoke equally there in a little bit, but he was thoroughly conversant. And then, seven, Dr. Bedwell, who began a Persian dictionary, was among the Archbishop Law's manuscripts still preserved in Broadway Library in Oxford, England. So this William Bedwell, with his Arabic and Persian and other Oriental languages, is greatly superior to a modern translator. That's important to see, so we can see that particular fact. These men were not just little babies in their knowledge of the languages underlying of King James life. Then the superiority of Dr. Miles Smith, that was one of the translators of King James Bible. The acceptability of Miles Smith, this is a good point, let's look through one. Miles Smith, yeah, he was the third translator. He translated from the company of the Oxford Group, translated a total of 17 books from Isaiah to Malachi. Here's some of the background of Dr. Smith. First, he was one of the 12 translators who selected to revise and work after it was referred to them for the final examination. They had all these different men, some 45 or 50 translators. In the end, there were selected ones, some the 12 men who devised what they've done. He was one of the 12. Second, Dr. Smith was employed to write the most learned and eloquent preface to the King James Bible. He wrote the preface of it. Then, in third place, Dr. Smith, he went through the Greek and Latin fathers, these church fathers. They were ancient men and knew the Lord. There were 100 church fathers who wrote extensively from 100 to 300 AD. There were 200 more that wrote from 300 to 600 AD. He went through all of them. There's an adaptation on all of them. I don't know whether these modern translators even know who these church fathers were. They were really leaders of the church. Then fourth, was well acquainted with the rabbinical glosses, the Jewish glosses and comments of the Jewish Old Testament. These are marginal notes and comments in the Hebrew language. Fifth, he was so expert in the Chaldees, which is related to the Hebrew, the Syriac, and the Arabic, that he was almost as familiar with his native as with Israel and his native tongue. Sixth, Hebrew had at his fingers' ends, extremely proficient man, certainly superior qualification to translate that King James Bible. Then the superiority of Dr. Sir Henry Saville. His activities of Henry Saville. Sir Henry Saville was in the company of four of the Oxford Group. They had different three different groups, these different cities where they met. And he was in company of four. That group had the task of translating six books, the Gospel, Acts, and Revelation. Here's some of the background of Henry Saville. First, he became very early famous for his Greek and mathematical learning. Second, he became the tutor in Greek and mathematics to Queen Elizabeth. I'm sure the Queen would not pick a man to train her in Greek and mathematics, was what we call his man, I think, Dodo, or some of you know this, but he was an expert in the subject, and did for the Queen to have him train her in Greek and mathematics. Third, he translated the histories of Cornelius Tacitus, one of the early church fathers, published the same with notes. Fourth, Henry Saville published in the manuscript the writings of Gregorian against Pelagius, the writers of English history, subsequent to Bede, and pre-election, the elements of Euclid. He was a scholar who published many other books as well. And fifth, he's chiefly known, however, for being the first to edit the Treatise of Chrysostom, the most famous of the Greek fathers. John Chrysostom had many pages that he wrote to the people to whom he ministered, and Saville was the first to accomplish the edit of his work. The edition of his 1,000 copies was made in 1613, in 8 immense folios. So he was a scholar in the 6th, was one of the most profound, exact, and critical scholars of his age, and meet and write as the third mode take a part in the pre-text preparation of incomparable words that's from the quarter writing translated to revise. Then, one of the final ones, these are just a few of them, the sphere of John Boyce, as he said. The academic of John Boyce, he's one of the more respected translators in a company six, famous group, he translated all the books of the Apocrypha. Now, the Apocrypha we don't believe in, it's filled with mythical things and unscriptural things. And really, the translator, as I mentioned last evening, did not want to put the Apocrypha books in the kingdom. But the king said, you've got to put them in. So they obeyed the king, because they didn't put them in the Old Testament at all, like the Roman Catholics. They didn't put them in the New Testament, as the Catholic version mixed them together. They put them in one section between the two, and in the 39 articles, the Anglican Church of England says, it's very clear, we do not hold the Apocrypha to be part of the canon, part of the scriptures of our Bible. Even though the king insisted, they did it, they were commanded, they put it not only in the Old Testament and New Testament. We're glad that our King James Bible was thrown out the Apocrypha. It was very, very soon afterwards, as soon as they said King died, nobody knew anything about it, they threw it out. that doesn't appear in any of those things in the Bible today. Now that's okay, I put it back in the manuscript version. And right back in. Got many Roman Catholic passages in there, prayers for the dead, and various other things. And lots of heresy was there. We're glad that we got all of those things in the Bible. He was careful to obey his father. That's a good sign to be taught. It is a good thing. Father should teach more things to his children. He had four sons and one daughter. He taught them up in the things of the Lord as best that we could. And instead of leaving up to the churches or Sunday school, took a little child prodigy. At the age of 5 years, he read the Bible in Hebrew. And that's a lot of profound scholars, the translators of our Bible. These men that translated the modern versions, at age 5, I don't think they could read the Bible in English. They were trained in English. And second, by the time boys were 6 years old, not only wrote Hebrew legibly, but a fair and eloquent text. After he's ever taken Hebrew, that's the nation, speaking Hebrew, Dallas, that's the seminary, it's not an easy thing to write. This little boy, age 6, could do it legibly in a fair and honest text. Third, he soon distinguished himself by the great skill in Greek, writing letters in that language to master and senior fellows at his college. It's a great man. Fourth, the Chamber of Dr. Down, the chief university lecturer in the Greek language, for his read with him 12 Greek authors in prose, hardest of 55, both the dialect and phrase. It was a common practice for this young man to read and study the university's library from 4 a.m. and stay without intermission until 8 in the evening, 16 hours straight. As far as a lecture in the Greek authors, the hardest of two columns. When I was going to the University of Michigan, the Lord called me to the pastoral ministry on the Greek train, and I selected Dallas to the seminary. One of the things that Dallas did, if you don't know any Greek at all, the first whole year, you must take it for our first semester, for our sixth, without any credit whatsoever. So I said, well, if that's the case, I'll change my major to the University of Michigan. I was going to be heading as a medical doctor, and the Lord called me to ministry. I saw a woman that was next last night, took me a car, they put up in front of the main grave in Ann Arbor, Michigan, where the University of Michigan is. And that car started to take off and dropped her down dead on the pavement, blood sprinkling all over her. I said to myself, I couldn't speak that night because as doctors, it deals with just death and all. The Lord, I suddenly used his name, he called to touch my heart for the ministry of the word, like they had practiced, whatever he called me to. That day on, no problem, difficult and sleeping. I became a Navy chaplain, one of the duties I had 5 years in active duty. I dealt with many people, dying people. Never possible with any problems with death. The Lord took that out. As I consented to his call, and boy, it was great. And so, because it was bright to Dallas, 1 hour free, I changed my major from medical work. And I majored in classical Greek and Latin. So I had my Greek ahead of time. Didn't have to bother with baby Greek in Dallas. I was all set. And to go, thanks a lot. Pardon that diversion, but that's a superiority of John Boyd. And then in the fifth place, his library contained one of the most complete and costly collections of Greek literature that ever has been made. Sixth, he was equally distinguished for his skill in Greek as well as Hebrew. Seventh, is one of the 12 translators who sent two from each of these companies to make the final revision of Fisherman's Hall. This lasted 9 months. A great man, a great scholar, as a superiority of the King James Bible translators is certainly a great. Eighth, to put notes of all the proceedings of this committee. You see, they had all these translators, and the translator did a good job, but they had come from each of the companies come to the very end and make sure everything was copied. He took notes of all the proceedings. He was the secretary at that time, in that age. Ninth, he left at his death as many as many leaves of manuscript as he had lived days in his long life. Looked at his age, he lived 83 years, a few years behind him, but that's all right, I'm only 90 years of age, but at 83, that's enough, that's good. And 11 days, that totals 30,306 days. Imagine living over 30,000 pages of writing, luminous writers, scholar, reader, and witness. So I can look over and see some of my books that preach the Word of God from Romans to Revelation, especially for instance, I'm working on those books, but he had over 30,000 pages of writing. Hence, he was so familiar with the Greek and Testament that he could at any time turn to any word that had been sent. Few indeed are the living names worthy to be enrolled with those mighty men, the translators of the King James Bible. It would be impossible to convey it out of any one Christian denomination, or out of all the body of them, such a body of translators of whom the whole Christian community could bestow such a confidence as reposed by that illustrious company, or would prove themselves as deserving of such confidence. And what has not been done by the most able and best qualified divines is not likely to be done by obscure pedagogues, whose modern translators fit that, I'm sure, but wouldn't agree with that. That term for them. Broken down parsons, some of those words, and secretaries with a single idea, and not a wrong one. The different quarters are talking big and loud of their amended, improved, and only correct and reliable Greek translation, which we have in these days of ours, many, many unreliable translations, and getting up American foreign Bible unions to print their sophomore performances in the process. So that's a good word. Sophomore. Sophomore is wise. Morris is a moron. I think they're wise, but they're morons. I know they're sophomore performances. Now, chapter 4. You send that book, if anything, to his Bible, fourfold fairly, for your text, or Hebrew and Greek, for your translators. The third for your superior technique of translation. The technique of translation is very important as well. First, the superior team technique. None of the present translators or writers in these new versions have this technique of a tuning technique. What do I mean by tuning? Well, they had three different cities where they met. The Westminster team in one city, the Oxford team in another city, Cambridge team in another city, and the Westminster team translated the Old Testament Genesis to the second king. And the New Testament, Romans 2 Jews. The Oxford team translated the Old Testament Isaiah through Malachi, New Testament Gospel, Acts, and Revelation. The Old Testament, Cambridge team, First Chronicles and Ecclesiastes, and they translated the Apocrypha. We said before, the Apocrypha is not scripture, it's history, it's guesswork. Some of it's just Maccabees, or second book, second Maccabees, it's history, but a lot of it is unscriptural. Never use the Old New Testament, never quote it from, the Roman Catholic rest upon it. In fact, it never says it's scripture. Never in the whole practical or any of it says it's the Bible. It is in there between the Old New Testament because King James insisted. He gave the name of King James Bible, for he's the king, and may your majesty be pleased, it was prosperous, that a new translation be made. The present ones that stand, not answering to the original. So these men went about answering every single word to the original. Back in the book table, you see what we have published. The Bible said ministry is published what we call the defined King James Bible. why you said, why did this publish this crime in your Bible? Because a lot of people use it in the street. And then comes in here, like me and we and thou, but we don't understand. We don't change the thing. It's because of that, some of the modern version. And so, our son, D.A. Rich Jr., worked many hundreds of hours. Every single word in the Bible that is uncommon, they used in 1611, that is the letter name. If they didn't have a sense today, it was put a big black print, the footnotes and gave the definition of that word. All the definitions of uncommon words are in the footnotes. But there's no excuse for anybody who uses the King James Bible, using the defined King James Bible, to say, I can't understand all that. In fact, as a ministry, our Bible study left this church on prisons. We have many different prisons, some 29 or 30 prisons. Many prisons have questioned Bibles. They're sending free and post-trade. They're defying King James Bible. I don't know the answer. I mean, all the time, hundreds of prisons hoping they'll trust the Lord Jesus as Savior. And those that are our internet people, they have many hundreds of people, thousands on the internet, and they send in funds to supply the needs of our church. And they do that very ministry, and we send it out, and the scriptures, so they understand the scriptures in them. And rule number eight, there are four rules for King James translation. Rule number eight, for example, every particular man of each company is going to take the same chapter or chapters and be translated and amended them several by himself. For if it's good, all to meet together to concur when they have done, to agree with their parts, and it shall stand. That's the same, and then behind the King James Bible. That's rule number eight. Rule number nine, as any one company has dispatched any one book in this manner, they should send it to the rest, all the other companies. There are six companies, remember? To be considered seriously and judiciously, His Majesty, that's King James, is very careful in this point. Rule number 10. If any company, upon review of the book, shall send, without order, upon any place, send them word thereof, with the place of the fall, send the reason. Why do you want us to change this particular passage? To which, if they consent not, we don't want to change that. We think it's wonderful. The difference to be compounded at the general meeting, which is to be of the chief priests of each company at the end of the work. Thus, in the end, they all had to agree enough to let all the readings pass. Rule number 12. That wasn't enough. Letters were sent to every bishop, every one in charge of the rest of the Church of England, and his clergy, modestly this translation in hand, and to move and charge as many being skilled in the tongues of Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, having taken pains in that way diligently, study the language, not just knowing it, send a particular observation to the company, either at Westminster, Cambridge, or Oxford. This indicates that many must have aided in the work. Not simply the translators, but those other people who knew very well the Hebrew and American Greek, they could update anything at all to be the beginning. Then chapter 4 of our defined King James Bible, defending King James Bible, is the King James Bible is God's Word kept intact in English because it's the clear technique of translation. Just because we have the right manuscript and the right translation, what was this text and how did they do it? The first was the superior translation technique. The manner of the translator, very important. They used the verbal equivalent, they used the formal equivalent, they rejected the dynamic equivalent. You say, what do I mean by verbal equivalent? It's defined in the next slide. By the way, those slides go. Cross. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 4, 5. Verbal equivalent is translating in words from Hebrew and Greek and Roman. It's used as King James translation. If a word is important to the Aramaic or Hebrew or Greek, That word doesn't get transferred. Those words are important. Those other words are important. This method, this technique was used for the King James Bible. That's right. Objective and modern, in all cases, get words. That's what they didn't want to say what they used. The second technique was formal equivalent. What do you mean by that? It preserves the forms of the Hebrew and Greek into English. That was forever possible. They translate a Hebrew or Aramaic or Greek word into an English word. An adjective into an English adjective. An adverb into an adverb. And so on. An infinitive into an infinitive. Whatever possible. That was used by translators. And it was not like verbal good, but formal. But forms of the word. Subjective by monitor. Isn't it that a word that's informative? That doesn't bind us. A lot of times they switch an infinitive into an adverb. They put a verb into an into a noun, for example. They don't care. But the King James Bible had a definite superior technique. Now the inferior translation technique in the modern verb, all of that 50 that modern all kinds of 100 more, they reject verbal equivalent. As I say, occasionally for the word to word. That's not what they wanted. They can add or whatever. They reject formal truth. They're not the same word from the Hebrew and the Greek literature. But they use dynamic equivalent. Well, what is that? Well, let me give you a definition of dynamic equivalent. First, it can add the word anytime they want. Add to God's word. It's almost like God himself. They don't add to God's word. That's his new version to you. Secondly, it's a subtraction word. You never should subtract from God's word. When God said it, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, God meant it. He wants to be translated all the languages of the world, English, Spanish, French, German, Italian, German, all of them. And it changes sometimes God's word. They're not supposed to change them either. I went from Genesis to Revelation in some of these new versions one year. And the New King James Version, for example, I saw that there was either addition, subtraction, or change in over 1,000 or 2,000 places. 2,000 different places. Some of them were not the same, but they weren't completely changed. They were changed in 2,000. I did the same thing for the New American Standard. I mentioned that on Sunday. And I went through from Genesis to Revelation, where they changed. Real change. That's not the synonym for it, but it's changed. I counted them all up. Over 4,000 additions, attachments, and changes in the New American Standard. So I'm going to do it for the New International Version, which has been popular, and I went through it several years ago. And I got to about 6,655, and I quit. I wasn't going to spend the rest of my life putting all this. They had this in the 19th page of the NIV. Thousands, I'm sure, more, but 6,655 did go that far. I don't know what it was in the Bible, but I quit. Now, I wouldn't use the New King James for 2,000 different types of I wouldn't use the New American Standard over 4,000. Something like the NIV over 6,656 in memoir. But these modern versions have a false technique of translation. Adding, subtracting, changing. It's as if they were the divinity themselves. It's as if they were God himself. As a matter of equivalency, adding, subtracting, and so on, in my book I looked at about 25 different words that begin with B. Always the highest, that's too much. Just put in seven, top seven. Or is this the seven? So that equivalence is diabolical. That's what the devil does. He loves to add to touch and change. It's deceptive, he claims to be the true word, and it's not. It's dishonest, it's terminally. They mean this. They're not going to follow this. The translation problem. They're going to continue what they want to continue, add to touch and change. It's dishonest, because everyone they add to touch and change is not what God meant. It's deifying a man because when they, the translators, have added to God's word, subtracted God's word, but changed God's word, they become deified as God himself. It's disobedient, God says don't do it. It shouldn't disapprove. Like that's what dynamic equivalence is. Success. Now here's some of the errors of dynamic equivalence. Handling implicit intimate. Sometimes when something's implied, something's universal. What's implied, we have added. Now, for instance, 1 Thessalonians 4:14. Even so, them also are sleeping Jews, or God brings them. That's the ancient verbal translation of the Greek people. What do they do? Even so, them also are sleeping Jews, or God brings them. They had 20 descends from heaven. So that may be the time of it. It's not in the word, it's not in the scripture. So they added a new version. When God descends from heaven, he descends from heaven. That's an example of adding the things that they think are implied. So what's implied, you don't translate. In the preaching, they add to it and they explain it. We do it all the time in the pulpit preaching. But you don't add it in the translation, God's translation. Here's the second thing. First in Luke 8, 35 to 38. Scriptures are in black ink. And found a man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus. He also was taught, told them of what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. That's the King James translation. But they added these things as explanatory, and these are not added in the scriptures that we have, but they added these things. Now, here's exactly what the matter is as far as legitimate translation. Notice these things. As much of the original text and as few words as possible. Number three, yet preserve the original atmosphere and emphasis. Number four, the translator should strive for the nearest approximation of words, concepts, and cadence. He should scrupulously avoid adding words or ideas not demanded by the text. This is exactly what to do if you're in the language world. His job, now notice that, his job is to translate into people's figures, not to expand, but to explain, but to translate. And to show the spirit of force of the original. Indeed, it needs to be at the expense of modern colloquialism, so long as the resultant translation is being quoted. The translation is preferred by the memory of Christians. That's what I think is about the translator to do. Certainly, many words in these passages and successful translations of the Bible will benefit from more tender treatment, but such treatment belongs in a commentary. We don't add to such a thing that a commentary is looking. Not in a translation. We expect the translation the closest approximation to the written text of the Word of God that linguists and philological science can produce. We want to know what God said. I hope that's the one. Not what Dr. So-and-so thinks that God meant by what he said. We want to know exactly what did God say. There's a great difference between the two. When truth from holy ground from the law of the distinction. We've reached slide 130. Or do you have any comments or questions? We can go from any comments or questions about the intent. Maybe faster, I don't know, maybe Mrs. Faster. I should have told you that to the beginning here, because if someone can't do that, no. You found it, sir?
Well, it's fine.
We'll get back to that.
We'll still consider. Brother, dynamic equivalence, it sounds dynamic, doesn't it?
Yes.
Right, and I remember studying about those things. It's interesting how that it sounds like it almost should be right. It's interesting to me how they come up with words that camouflage what they're really doing.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, only Satan could be an actor of that. So, dynamic equivalence means it's not equivalent at all.
Right.
Right. I mean, it's good. It's all the story. Right. Right.
I think that is right.
No.
Yes, ma'am.
When they talk about Jesus, Jesus goes capitalized, and the Lord goes capitalized, and he took them into
why don't they capitalize in the King James Bible when it refers back to the God of the Jews? That's one of the reasons. That's one of the things that they have as a rule at that time. And we quote from our own scriptures and poems that refers to God, we recapitalize it. That wasn't the case in that case. And that's just the time in the translation. They know that he was back to deity, they know it's history, but that was not one of the rules of translation at the time. But to that matter. Today, we always should refer, capitalized, and we refer to deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, of God the Father, of the Holy Spirit. That's a good question. Wasn't that way that mean that technique, I can sustain well? Yeah. Another question? Okay. Yes, ma'am. If one, the question is, if one of the companies, six companies, didn't agree with what one of these companies, remember when each company took their translation, they furthered the risk for the other five companies, they looked them over. And so, if one of these companies, if the other five companies didn't agree with what the company did, at the last time they had two weeks to come, to the final company, to look over the whole thing. They disagreed. We decided at the very end, by two committees of each company, we decided whether they should let this difference stand or let the, or leave the original translation stand. That's what they did with the solid. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. So, there's six companies, and each of them had a task, a certain portion of scripture was translated. And every time that one of the companies finished their portion, they had to give it to the other five so they could check them over. And they know to check them over so we don't agree with this company. At the very end, they picked two of the superior ones. One, two, three, four, five, six, 12 men. And they looked over all these questions the companies had asked them. Why did they disagree with these people? And they solved the problem. And he said, no, this is going to stand, and all of them change. But that's what was perfect to break down. You understand what I'm saying? Good. But you know, in Latin it says repetitio, mate estudio est. Repetition is the mate of learning. So we repeat it, that's okay. Other comments, I'm fighting out Latin, but I just had to get out. Any comments, it's another place. I appreciate those studies. Yes, ma'am. Under the new King James, on the scene, I'm not sure that they would find this church. I don't know.
So we find a reason.
Maybe 20 years.
Maybe 20 years?
That's nice. I don't have that word. I know that somewhere it's in my office, they use it. So. Anybody know what that makes you want? What is it? Oh, he's Google. I'm sorry, we'll have to look at it. Sorry, when it came out, but 1979, 89, 1990, I couldn't remember what it was. It came out all right. I understand that the Lutheran Church are not selling too well. They're almost all the big victims are not completely, but that company that produced it tried to make anything as much as possible change in. I understand sales gone way, way down. These new versions came out, but it's pretty changed a lot of things that came in. They're selling far more sales than the new King James. Almost out of business. About the new King James. I was kind of told that. I remember that particular time. Did most popular look at it. They say the New International Version years ago, even currently, is one that outsells, I say, even the King James Bible. Very important. New International Version. I don't believe that's true. There are a lot of publishers, like the Bible Division, who publish in the Bible, maybe the Five Kings Bible, many of the publishers they don't know about. Publishers. I think the King James still outsells the NIV. Now, as far as the one that made the most popular now, years ago was the NIV. It could be the English Standard Version. The ESV, they took the Revised Standard Version of the Modern Apostate, and the Waterford, some, I don't know the exact figure, I think it's some $260,000, some big amount of money, maybe $600,000, I don't know. They bought that, published and printed, and then they changed a few words here and there. And the Revised Standard Version, that's what came. The basic part was the Revised Standard Version of the National Council Church Apostate. They brought that to change young woman in Isaiah 7:14 to virgin and a few different things. But now the fundamental Bible witness that was just set upon that. In fact, the Bible University has gone hog wild in the apostasy and modernism and Jews and Gentiles and compromise. A fearful of us sons of righteousness many, many years ago when it was both standard and most fundamental. They're using now, they used to use the New American Standard Version in all their classes. All the Pope that still preach to the King James, but the Greek classes were the false pretext they used in Boston for years and years. It's like in Dallas, they used the false pretext. So they used then at that time the New American Standard Version. Now they switch to the English Standard Version from every classroom, all the preaching, from their pastor to Revised Standard Version. So who's on first now for our sales? I'm not sure. Whether it's the English Standard Version now or what it is, the time transfer of the international, which they claim. I still probably think the things that beat them off. There's that.
Several years ago, when Deb and I were on a trip, and we were in Charlotte, and we drove in Greenville, and we went to see a man in Atlanta, just maybe 4 years ago or so. And I'd never been to the campus of Boston University, which years ago was a school that many preachers came out of, good preachers, and some of them still live. Bob Bickloy, who went to heaven here recently, mentioned that not about Bickloy, had a part of the funeral. Who was the Boston friend? He rejected the position that they got him, just like this man was not taught.
Boy, that's called the false research that Donald Simon. 10, 15 years has known it does.
That was a little girl in your class.
It was a girl in my class. A teacher at Shelton College taught to teach and something. And we're teaching there one day, and she raised her hand, and Sandy, you know, the doctor wrote there, no, there's a book in our library that talks about the foundation of the King James Bible. You know, Sandy, you know, the book was from Dean Gordon to a vision of life. I went to Princeton University Sunday, about 50 miles, 60 miles, 100 miles from our town. Got up to the library and read it and learned what the truth was about the Greek text. That was called heresy. This false Greek text, the West and North and other things were wrong. These Bergen found the solid, the real truth about the real kingdom. translated from the Greek text was, we published that book down, and we have a full book, so there's five books altogether are available in print for the Greek, for our Greek Program Society of Bible Study Ministry. That straightened me out. There's a little girl asking me the question that I've heard of this book. You know, in this possible thing, all of us have only two things we do when we're finding truth. We have two things to believe. One is to reject it, one is to accept it. And I believe the thing to do is accept truth. And we have error when one brings us truth. Accept and thank God for it. Reject it. Many people reject truth and stick to the error that they've been taught. And reject it.
I just want to say, maybe now I might just wait for one more thing. As we traveled, we went to the school we were talking about, where many ministers were taught the wrong thing. I went into their book room 4 years ago. Like a Bible training school, if you go into their book room, that's where you can figure out where they're hidden or what they're doing now. Only 4 years ago, I could hardly find the King James Bible. And Bob Jones, senior, that's all he used, brother, am I right? Bob Jones, just all he used. And, but just 4 years ago, his ESV all over the place. It wasn't surprising that the ESV had really raised. I'm just saying, what he just said, I saw it. You can always find it. It's just as bad, and it used to be a fundamental school of sorts, just as bad as the school down there. You know how confusing it is down there? Now, I'm talking about downtown anything, if people are aware. You can always find it. That's because this thing is so sold, it's hooked on the secret. And it was started in these theological training schools. Just like for, brother, how old were you? How many years from the time you went to seminary until this little girl told you? How many years was that?
Probably 10 or 15 years. Mine is about 3 seconds.
He was in ministry 10 or 15 years. And I told him today, but that's a powerful thing, because people listening to Brother Wake might think he always believed it. Maybe that's going to pay. Charlie, I don't know if we should agree with you or not, because you're just diving all these things. You always believe these things. I told him today, it's powerful for you to always believe that. He was taught wrong, and most preachers are. Yeah, I wouldn't defeat it. Hey, how about this? We'll go to the kids. So now, you have to sit with us. Really, you can study the whole thing by reading it. You have to get satisfied by it. That's hard. But you can take this whole course that you're to teach. You can take this whole course. The man told me today, he said, you have this tape. I said, you know what it is. He said, you have it right there. And you can study this whole thing. And then let me see, a lot of it is in the book of Fine King James Bible.
Right?
Yeah. And one more thing, he is giving me our church PDF file of this book, the Pine King James Bible, and it was defending the King James Bible. The science forwarding us to the PDF file, and we're going to put that on the website. That is free and downloadable, and then it can be purchased directly to them as well. Anyway, this man here told me that in California, a big pastor taught him this book. And that's why he knows them to be true. And we have to see him all the time. Anything else tonight? Before, all you had to rely on was me.
So I said, I want him to come. You know, I think what I'm saying is important to all of us. If we know who we are and where, what part we play, and we can go a long way in anything if we don't care who gets it done. I'm just glad it's here. You know, we took a picture there and put it to the kid. Brother was standing here and I was standing here. And our wife took a picture and I said, now we took the picture. I said, now the title of that picture is The Star and the Train. This man knows words. These are not words that I'll never learn. But hey, that's not who I am. Not who I love. And that's all right. If you have it right there, you can listen to it. All right. Well, you know what? Let's sing a song. It's late. Let's sing a song. We want to sing. It's a great song.